Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
It is indeed the question of the week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You probably already know that. Sitting across from me.
It's the best show on the internet.
The other one. That was just him talking. His name is Joe. You guys know him. Say hello.
Hi.
Here, we get together and we listen to your answers to the question of the week. If you're wondering where you can find the question of the week, Joey Patrick posts it on the Two-Headed Nerd forums every Sunday, and we reiterate it on our show.
Give or take.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be Sunday. He's going to remember. Sorry, yeah. Folks. So let's get right to it. Here's how it works. We post the question. You call us or you send us an MP3 with your answer. Or you can go to the forums and write a whole goddamn book. If you're going to call us, it's got to be short. You got to share the air. But before we can start playing your answers, I need to know what the hell the question was, Joe.
This week's question was inspired by last week's story about Disney Comics returning to IDW for some reason and not being published by Marvel. So, we want to know your favorite licensed property in comics.
Kick butts. Let's get right to it. Randy Andrews, number one with a bullet. Again, he's getting in there.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what is your favorite licensed property in comics? Well, guys, I have to say that it's the Serenity comics.
I was hoping he throws this.
That's
like
based upon the show
goes, Star Trek.
I really like the current run of comics that came out called Leaf on the Wind. I think it opened up a whole new storyline, and you know we're going to get more comics from it because it left you hanging at the end. I'm really excited for reading more of it, and that's the best one I got this week, guys. Hope you like it, and check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is actually from Firefly, and so we'll see you in a week.
I have one complaint with Firefly Comics. They don't come out enough. Like, why don't we have a monthly Firefly series?
Yeah.
You know, I love them. I absolutely love them. They're fantastic. And if you like that show, oh, you'll freak out on the comics.
Yeah, A Leaf on the Wind, which was the most recent one, was really, really good.
It was really good.
I like that answer. That's a great answer.
That's an excellent answer. We go to the phone lines for what can only be another antagonistic call from our very own Elise Wisdom.
Hello, nerds. This is Elise Wisdom. I don't have an answer today because I don't read licensed comics.
Okay.
But I thought I'd call in anyway to say that I think it's pretty appropriate that Google Transcripts thinks I have a dick. Considering what a sausage fest your show is, it probably doesn't believe a woman would ever call in.
That's fair.
Also, Matt, you would know if I had a dick.
Whoa!
Because you are eye level with that part of my body.
Whoa!
You'd see it. It's huge. And as long as you're down there, why don't you suck it?
Whoa!
You
to be fair, Joe Patrick called it. All right, I didn't say it.
You missed her mic drop wisdom out. He screamed right over it.
Why don't you suck it?
No, and then she was like, why don't you suck it? Wisdom out.
Elise does not read licensed comics.
That's fine with me.
That's what I took away from that one.
You know what? I appreciate her call anyway.
You too. This may be
It's
the return of first time, long time.
It may be. And did he reveal his identity to us in his email?
I don't know. I do not know.
I'll tell you what. There is a name attached to the email. I'm not going to read it.
I'm not either.
But if you look at the email, it's obviously a dummy account that he created just to email us.
Quite possibly. And it's also he's sending us an MP3. He's not calling.
Oh, man.
This may be someone claiming to be first time, long time. Let's see what we think.
Hello, to have a nerd.
It's him.
Je suis first time, long time. Calling for questions of the week. Apologies for not calling sooner. So, want to make it up to everyone with the answer of all the questions that I've missed for the past few weeks. The first is a great beginning, but comic series ending poop is anything by John Michael Straczynski.
If I had to pick my favorite comic themed gift that I ever did get, it's not even action figure, it was Superman pajamas, and they were my favorite because my mommy made them for me because she loves me.
Now, if I had to pick my favorite holiday-themed comic, yeah, there's only one comic that comes to mind.
The Macho Man.
It was great. You had Jay Garrick. You had Wally West in The Return of Barry Allen. Oh, yeah, Flash 73.
For me, with the New Year resolution that I'm going to make, I decided that I'm going to cut back on my floppies, so I'm not going to get any floppies. From the superhero genre, I'm just totally gonna go digital with all the superhero comic books.
What I was thinking about, the things that came out to Image Expo.
This is amazing.
Oh, there's a lot of titles there, but the one that I thought I'm most looking forward to will have to be, it's the one by James Robinson and Philip Tan, Heaven. Oh, that has really got me excited. I think it's going to be a good story.
If I had to think about the best origin story, really actually my favorite, it would be where he wanted to be a superhero, and he was a fan of him before he became a superhero. It would totally be the origin of Wally West. That's my favorite origin story of all time.
Now, when it comes to favorite licensed comic book, oh, this is a dandy. Released in 2004, this title told the story of a peacekeeper, Thaddeus Bach. Released by DC Comics, it's the story Space Ghost!
Oh, yeah!
So, that's it, all the questions I missed. Thank you for listening to my answers, and I will call the two-headed nerd again. Okay, bye-bye.
Holy s***. I sincerely hope he is working in the voiceover business because that was incredible.
I am very impressed.
Speechless.
Yes.
Wow.
Well done. Well done.
His answer is Space Ghost.
We missed you. Yes, his answer was Space Ghost.
His answer was Space Ghost. It was almost like it's just secondary.
I just like, what? that comic is amazing.
It was.
Ariel Olivetti did the art.
Yeah. Alex Ross painted the covers.
I think Jeff Parker wrote it. No, Andy Diggle wrote
it. Yeah, Andy Diggle wrote it.
Oh, so good.
It was.
And they were going to do more and they never did.
Yeah, they were going to do like Birdman and stuff and it never showed up.
Ah.
Sucks.
Yeah, really good. I don't know if that book is even still in print, but DC's Space Ghost miniseries, totally serious. Like, it is not played for laughs.
No. He was a badass Space Ghost.
First time, long time. We missed
good
you.
Good to have you back.
Welcome back.
That was amazing.
Wow. With every new voice came a new layer of dread.
Yeah.
But no, he pulled it off.
And if you could call back with a Macho Man intro to the show. Oh.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Nick Garcia sending in an MP3 on behalf of Black Scorpion the Three.
Passing us Black Scorpion the Three's email because he's a busy man.
Nick Garcia Black Scorpion?
We may never know.
We may never know.
Yeah, I've never seen them both in the same place. I'll say that.
That's true.
Nerds. Let me tell you about 1985, when a young Black Scorpion number 3 was an avid watcher of a certain transforming robot cartoon. And there were a lot of those, the ones with the lions that turned into the big guy, or the cassette players, or trucks that turned into big flying robots. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the cartoon where people of Earth harnessed alien technology to fight off an alien invasion. I'm talking about Robotech. In a single season, Robotech aired 85 episodes and told a story that spanned 3 generations. It was ambitious and it was different. You saw main characters die off pretty regularly. You saw concepts like xenophobia and interracial relationships. Those were typical topics and stories. And if you want to see half the world's population get blown to bits in a kid's cartoon where you see like a mom running, trailing her child while she's trying to evade an assault and you see him get blown up, like that happened. That was Robotech. But unfortunately, it didn't sell Matchbox toys, so it didn't get another season. There was an officially licensed comic called put out by Comico that looked terrible. It was like poor coloring, bad drawing, and it was just an episode-by-episode telling of the story while it was airing. But in 1988, Eternity Comics picked up something called Robotech 2, The Sentinels, and that is what I want to go bad for. It was absolutely awesome. You know how people like Dark Horse for continuing the Star Wars universe? Well, Eternity, they did the same thing. There were novels and abandoned scripts that they could draw from to kind of complete that universe. But you know how Star Wars, everybody liked Star Wars and knew it? This was something special because it was ours. It was made for all the other young black scorpions who came home from school and tuned in for that next episode that never aired.
The Black Scorpion League.
The comic was pretty big and epic.
You can use that.
It had books 1 and 2 and 3 where they would travel through different galaxies and you encounter different races and things. The cast would change and evolve. You still had the core characters, though, but it felt big and epic, but still personal, too, just like the original season. And there were two things that I liked about it that I'm grateful for. One, it made me appreciate black and white comics in a big way. They use this gray wash technique that looked beautiful. And two, it made me appreciate indie comics. Remember, this is around 1990, so it's just a couple years before Image broke. So I thought the indies were just poorly drawn knockoffs of quote unquote legit comics, or that they were all boring personal stuff. And I was wrong on both counts. I do hate it for one thing. It made me think that all anime must be good, and it took me some years to realize how wrong I was.
Yeah.
Anyways, Robotech didn't sell toys, got canceled from TV, but as an indie comic, it gave those characters a life again. I love it. That's my pick. Thanks, Phyllis.
He loves the Robotech.
You know, I have never seen Robotech ever.
I watched Robotech when I was a kid, too, and he's right. It was just like, I remember thinking to myself, like, this is a cartoon, you know, like it was serious.
I was just talking the other day with occasional guest host Dave DeMarco and his business partner at Legend, Jason. They were telling me about how awesome the Macross saga is, which is what Robotech,
completely awesome.
The original name for Robotech in Japan. I'll have to check it out. I mean,
it still holds up.
I have nothing against giant robots with huge guns fighting monsters, so. Oh, why wouldn't I check it out?
It's more like they're fighting aliens. It's an alien invasion.
Well, yeah. Alien monsters?
Well, I mean, they're human size. They're not really monsters.
Oh, it's not like kaiju monsters.
No. And we kind of like learn that they're just like us.
Well, then I'm out. Just kidding.
That's a great answer, though. I like that.
And yeah.
He loved it, man. Did you hear that?
He really loved it.
He loved it. Stephen Fierro hits us, not Stephen Fino.
Different guy.
Stephen Fierro. And if the two ever meet, they will kill each other. He hits us.
There will be a gigantic explosion. Like if matter and antimatter collide.
Total protonic reversal.
Oh,
he says, hope you guys like my answer. And I included a special announcement for you guys. We don't know what this is. We don't listen to this before we get on the show. So I hope he doesn't like shoot himself or anything in the recording. You know, that could be weird.
What is up, Two-Headed Nerd? This is Stephen Fierro emailing in for the question of the week. You asked us what is our favorite licensed comic out right now.
It's true.
And before I get to that, I would like to make an announcement. Guys, I have filtered through the THN history, listened to the previous episodes, gone through everything I could find, and I believe that, Joe, thanks to you, I am the first person to ever be welcomed aboard 3 separate times. I don't know if it's an insult, but you guys just can't remember me. But I consider it a privilege. I was first welcomed aboard back in the old days of the Answer of the Week that was on through Facebook. Like you guys would ask us on the Twitter and the Facebook. And I remember typing out a question and that was the first time. And then I think a couple of weeks later, I did it again. And then I was welcomed aboard again. And then most recently, a couple of weeks ago, I was once again through the Answer of the Week welcomed aboard for a third time. And it's pretty great. First one in history. I think I deserve a t-shirt or something. I don't know. But I digress. Let's get to the question at hand.
Wearing like glasses and a fake mustache or something we didn't recognize.
Comic right now has got to be Dawn of the Planet of the Apes from Boom Studios.
Right on.
I know that they have a long history of Planet of the Apes comics, and I've heard they're really great, and I really need to dive into that because I love Planet of the Apes. I love those damn dirty apes. It's one of my favorite franchises. I'm only 22, but I watched the old movies when I was little because my grandparents loved those movies. So I was kind of raised on watching Planet of the Apes, and I love the recent reboots, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was a great film, and this comic gives us an in-between between Rise and Dawn. And so it's very cool. Very cool. And so you get a look into Caesar and all the different apes, and they're doing a good job of blending the human side and the ape side. Cause really when it comes to this, I kind of don't care about the human so much. I want to learn more about the apes. And I think Boom's doing a really great job. And this is a 6-issue series. It's just a little limited, and I can't wait till this thing is all done and completed, and I can get it in like a hardcover, paperback, whatever they're going to do. But it's just really great. The writer is Michael Moresi, and the artist is Dan McDade. I hope I said those names right. But guys, if you're not reading it, I mean, you got to check it out. This is a great series, but from Boom, the art is just fantastic. It's beautiful. It's really gritty and scratchy, and I love that kind of art. But yeah, that's it. I hope you guys have a great week, and hopefully I can answer the question next week.
I love the Planet of the Apes comics that they are doing. They are fantastic. And Steven, do yourself a favor. Go read all of them. They're all really, really good. A guy named Carlos Magno was working on Planet of the Apes for them for a while. I love that guy. He's so talented.
Steven, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, buddy. You know what it is? Steven Fino has been stealing your thunder. Dude, we forget. We're just like, oh, yeah, oh, Fino.
Here's the real explanation. The Facebook version of the answer of the week happened in an alternate reality that got erased during the last THN reboot.
Well, retconned.
Yeah. And the only official welcoming aboard that occurs is when you call into the podcast for the first time.
It's true. It's true.
So while I appreciate your contributions to the Facebook conversation, they are null and void. You were dead to us until you came back.
That's right.
Just kidding, buddy.
Welcome back aboard.
Welcome back aboard.
Hebrews hits us with an MP3 here. Love this guy. Hebrews.
Hey, this is Ryan from Cincinnati, a.k.a. Hebrews on the Forums, calling in with my answer of the week. For licensed comics, it's tough because I can't say that a whole lot of licensed comics have grabbed me, but I'm going to go with Corina Becko's and great Gabriel Hardman's Planet of the Apes series. They did Betrayal of the Planet wow. Apes, and then they did Exile of the Planet Apes and
About
Planet of the Apes Cataclysm. I think that was like three volumes in trade. I absolutely loved it. I'm a huge Planet of the Apes fan, and I had the full book never, you know, I never latched on to it, but these, I loved it. I loved how they fit in the actual universe very subtly. I just think that they're great, and I love that whole franchise. I mean, I watch the movies, you know, a couple times a year at least. So that's my answer, and I'll see you guys in a week. Bye-bye.
I thought for sure he'd be a Creeple People guy. I didn't know. Planet of the Apes, and he's absolutely right. Just like we just talked about. It is wonderful stuff. So there you go. Don't take it from me, Steven. Take it from Hebrews. Go read the Planet of the Apes stuff. Brett Merriman has called us 2 weeks in a row, folks. I think he likes us again.
I think we're back in his good graces.
All right.
His kid still hates us,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, sorry about all the cussing in front of your kids, Brett.
Hey, nerds. It's the Merriman. When I'm not kicking back with a 40, watching my son lock up chicks on the playground, I'm reading comics. And I love Mike Cross's G.I. Joe Cobra. As a youngin', I watched the TV show every day after school. I loved it, but it was just goofy fun. Never would I believe I'd actually be afraid of Cobra, but Mike Costa made me a believer. Real stakes, real characters, great stories. It's my favorite spy book and licensed property, not counting Star Wars or the Micronauts. All right, later, nerds.
Micronauts.
Merriman? We should have known it was G.I. Joe. He loves G.I. Joe. Wait, no, who's the one that was always talking to us about G.I. Joe? It wasn't Merriman.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
One of our
about.
Callers is calling, and he would always throw out G.I. Joe stuff. And he knows that I dug the old G.I. Joe series.
He'd be Tony like, Dugwright?
Was that T.D. Dubs? That
I
might be.
Dude, I don't remember.
I can't remember. We'll have to go down.
You all kind of blend together.
Yeah, let's go down to the dungeon, hose him off.
Unless you can do funny voices.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Right, I'm right there with you.
G.I. Joe Cobra was amazing.
I'm going to say very little else in that regard.
Oh.
Because unlike Matt Baum,
you're not changing your
I answer. Don't let anybody upstage me.
I see. Okay. I think we have. Nope. I was going to say, we got a new caller, but it's Anthony from Brooklyn.
It's Anthony from Brooklyn, only now we know his last name.
Yeah, he just added his last name and I got all excited.
It's okay.
I'm still excited. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I mean, I love Anthony from
Brooklyn.
He's my favorite person from Brooklyn.
There you go. You know anybody else from Brooklyn?
No.
Okay, well, still number one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listeners. This is Anthony from Brooklyn calling in with the question of the week. what is my favorite licensed property in comics? Well, my favorite licensed property in comics is actually a comic I haven't really read. Hold on. Whoa. So,
I'm making a funny face.
In 1978, Jack Kirby adapts 2001, A Space Odyssey in a Marvel Treasury edition. I haven't read it. But then there was a monthly comic of 2001, A Space Odyssey. And in the first seven issues, he continues the concept that is started in the movie. I haven't read those either. But in issue number 8, Jack Kirby says, screw you, Monolith. I'm doing Machine Man.
Yep.
And Machine Man is awesome. So 2001, A Space Odyssey. Favorite licensed property in comics. Thank you.
Very cool answer.
Fair enough.
Very cool answer.
I'm giving
and
it
I
to
will
him.
Tell you, you should read them just because I don't think Jack Kirby had any idea what 2001 A Space Odyssey
look,
was about.
It's like in 1977 when Marvel put out the Star Wars comic before the actual movie came out and they had no idea what the movie was about.
This is back when like Hollywood would be like, yeah, you want a license for a comic book? Sure. And they'd be like, can we get the script? And Hollywood would go, no.
Right. Right. It's like, can we at least like go somewhere and see a screener of the movie?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Here's the poster.
The early Marvel Star Wars comics, Marvel takes, let's call them liberties.
Yeah. There's like a bunny rabbit character.
There's a green bunny rabbit named Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, 2001 was the same thing. The Jack Kirby just kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Okay, I got it. You got Monkey Man. Yeah. You got space stuff.
Dawn
you got
of a Time. Monolith. Yeah. Space.
Say no more.
An evil computer.
Say no more.
I got it.
Comics, everybody.
I love it. Back to the phone lines. We don't know who this is.
Hello, Two-Headed Nerd. This is Jason calling in from Pittsburgh just to answer the question of the week. My favorite licensed property in comics is Star Wars Legacy at Dark Horse. Reason I like this comic so much is, it got me into comic book stores when I was like in high school. I went to the grocery stores and stuff with my parents. I got like X-Men and Spider-Man and stuff when I was a little kid, but this is a comic that actually got me in comic book stores and picking up all this good stuff, but it was definitely Star Wars Legacy that got me in there. John Ostrider and Jan Dursima did an awesome job on that. It was just like this comic where, you know, they're 130 years after the movies and I don't know, there's all these Sith everywhere and Luke Skywalker's great-great-grandson doing like all these space drugs and he's a bounty hunter, but
space
it's really, really cool. It's a great series and it is definitely my favorite licensed property. All right. Catch you later.
Welcome aboard, Jason. New guy. Jason from Pittsburgh.
You think so?
I'm calling it.
All right.
I'm calling it.
New guy. I love it.
Love it.
And you know what? We've already demonstrated an unwillingness to give a whether we've done it or not.
Yeah. So, hey.
So, welcome aboard, Jason from Pittsburgh.
I love it.
Star Wars Legacy. I was always, of all the comic books that Dark Horse put out based on Star Wars, that one, I think, was the one I was most curious
about. That one was kick ass.
Because it was Luke's, like you said, great-great-grandson or whatever, mm-hmm. and he was a real asshole.
Yeah.
Apparently doing space drugs.
I only smoke space weed. That's just, I'm tired of earth weed, man. Sucks.
I love that answer, man.
I love it, too. That's a great answer. Welcome aboard, first-time caller. That is fantastic.
Don't be a stranger.
Jason Sachs calls us.
Jason Sachs. Okay, so Sachs said, hey.
This is sexier.
He thought of an answer halfway through his. You can play both if you want, because I imagine it derails at the end.
Yeah.
But he thought of a better answer halfway through his first call and then called back.
I do like this one because the Google transcript says, hey, guys. Jason Sex here at Jason Sucks.
Internet is funny.
Sexier. Get to work.
Hey, guys. Jason Sex here at Jason Sex. But on the Twitters, I'm concerned it's too late to send you an MP3, so I am calling in this week. Hey, I hope my voice comes off okay, and you can make jokes about Jason Sexier. Anyway, best licensed character, I got to go with Madness Robot Fighter. As you well know, there have been two revivals of Magnus Robot Fighter. The old Gold Key version was brought back by Jim Shooter's Valiant Comics in the 1990s, and then back again by the new Valiant Comics in the 2000s. Both versions have been fantastic. The original Magus Robot Fighter was especially interesting, cool, very intriguing series that was led by Jim Shooter. And the revival has also been just really cool and enjoyable. So,
dramatic pause.
Yep, cancel this. Never mind. I got a better answer. Delete.
I love it. Okay, that answer doesn't count. We played it, but it doesn't count.
That's Jason Sachs, take two.
Yeah. That was great. I love it right in the middle of it. He's like, wait a minute.
Hi, guys. Jason Sachs here at Jason Sachs on the Twitters, calling you instead of emailing you an MP3 because it's late on deadline day. For me, the answer to the best licensed character is kind of an old school answer and a little weird. My answer is Fu Manchu. You say, what? There was never a Fu Manchu comic. But actually, there kind of was. Fu Manchu was a main supporting character and the father of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, which is one of the great lost comic series in the 1970s and 1980s, with great art by Paul Gillespie, Mike Zeck, and Gene Day, and wonderful stories by Doug Minch. There was the story, this comic had both depth and action, kind of internal beauty and quality to it that really made it stand out versus its peers. I really deeply miss this comic. And I wish it would get reprinted, but because Marvel lost the rights to Fu Manchu, and there's some, frankly, a little offensive material that was created in the early 1970s with Shang-Chi, they've never been able to bring the series back into print. So I'm going to go with Fu Manchu in Master of Kung Fu, one of the great lost comics of my lifetime. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Sexier loves Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu, a fictional character from a series of novels written by Sax Rohmer in the early half of the 20th century.
True dat. Marvel used his name.
Marvel had the rights, I guess, to use that character and tied Shang-Chi.
Who would ever thought that would be an issue? You know, like, come on.
Inextricably linked to Shang-Chi,
Marvel,
his son.
Learned an important lesson that day.
Yeah. If you're going to put out a licensed comic, don't have it matter.
Yeah.
Sorry, ROM Space Knight.
And don't try and cram that crap into another property that you own.
Or at least create so many new characters that if you happen to lose part of it, you can still keep it going. Kind of like how they keep bringing the Micronauts back just without.
Yeah.
Calling it the Micronauts.
Or without Baron Carzo, or without
Acro Year,
or whatever.
Right. But Commander Rand and Bug, those are all Marvel creations.
Sure. Man, this transcript is amazing. I'm just going to read a segment of it because it's amazing. Which is one of the great lost extremist 1970 nights, 8th with Gear O'Clock, a lazy Mexican Gene Day, and wonderful stories.
Lazy Mexican Gene Day.
That's incredible.
From this point on, I'm going to start giving titles to the answer of the week just from snippets of the Google transcript.
I love it.
Normally, I don't give them titles. I just say answer of the week number 85.
Yeah, yeah.
But henceforth,
we'll
have a title from the funniest bit of Google transcript from the week.
Cleon soars. The thunder from down under. The best looking male stripper you've ever seen hitting us up. Let's see what he's got.
Hey, Matt and Joe. This is Cleon, aka the Thunder from Down Under.
He loves it. Embraced
it. Question of the week. Now, I only read one licensed comic, so I guess it's going to be my pick for the week. The series is Adventure Time by Kaboom Comics. It's a really lovely companion piece to the show and does its own thing in its own tone, actually, while still feeling like the series. There are two stories I really want to mention, and the first is the Choose Your Own Adventure Time one, which is really fun and crazy in the typical Adventure Time way. And I also really like the Symbols issue where Magic Man, I believe, puts a spell on Finn and Jake so that all their dialogue turns into symbols. And they recognize that they can't use their words, but somehow they can speak and hear in symbols,
which
makes sense to us as we're able to visualize them as readers. But in their world, they're somehow communicating in symbols that somehow are visual through speech and sounds. It's just super weird, but plays really well into the idea of communication and takes advantage of the fact that it's a comic book adaptation of a cartoon series. Anyways, can't wait to hear what everyone else's favorites are. And yeah, speak to you all next week. Oh, wait, no, I do. Actually, you know what? I read Bee and Puppy Cat as well. But anyway, well, whatever. Adventure Time is my pick. Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bee and Puppy Cat is f-ing weird, man.
Like, yeah, I've heard.
It is weird.
Hard to argue that Adventure Time is not the current, like, the most successful licensed
comic. Yeah, I defy you to find another licensed comic that has been up for as many Eisners as Adventure Time. Like, it's amazing. They are knocking it out of the park. Probably one of the best executed of all time. Great answer, Cleon. Good to hear from you. Glad you like your nickname. Doc Flux calling for a change as opposed to MP3. He was in a rush. Joe Patrick's fault.
It's
my fault. He didn't post the goddamn question. You know what? When we get done recording today, I'm going to watch him post it. He was going to throw it up today.
No, that's fine.
All right. Here we go. Doc Flux.
Hello. This is Doc Flux, Vita Comics. I'm calling in, guys, because I'm right at the deadline, and I didn't have a time to throw together an entry. So I'm using this redacted telephone technology. I dusted off my phone, and I'm giving you a call. Licensed comics. I thought this a while, and I was like, oh, I really enjoyed that Adventure Time, those Adventure Time comics from Boom, and then really liking the Big Trouble in Little China, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do a cut because I think the stuff that I remember being the best, that I enjoyed the most, was all those great Aliens comics by Dark Horse. Not that they don't make them still, but I'm talking back in the day, Mark Verheiden, he did a bunch of stuff. There was runs like Earth War. Chris Claremont did Aliens versus Predator, which was really cool. There were so many good stories, so many good adaptations of the Alien stuff, and I'm a huge Aliens fan, so back to them time and time again. I recommend that stuff to a lot of people. So, Aliens, Dark Horse. They handled it now that they don't have Star Wars. Maybe they can keep capitalizing on that somehow. And just maybe we will get a really good Alien movie after all those terrible sequels and Alien versus Predator movies that will get people back into the concept en masse, and then people will start reading the comics more. So there you have it. Aliens, Dark Horse, all that stuff. Most of it, anyway. Really good. and that is what I like.
All of most of it is what he likes.
Thing next time, because I know you love my music. But for now, you'll get my tinny phone voice. Have a good day.
Doc, not your fault. I understand. He loves old school Aliens. I loved it too.
Never read him.
But Prometheus, that didn't tickle your pickle? That didn't bring you back in? I mean, he left me kind of scratching my head, I admit.
Prometheus is not very good.
It wasn't perfect.
Prometheus is not very good.
I had some problems.
Prometheus is not very good.
I really wanted it to be good, you know?
Well, you need to measure
You
need to measure your expectations a little better.
Things that were good. Sam Keith drew some of those old Dark Horse Aliens.
Yeah.
His Aliens were so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Jones, too, drew some. Man, it was good. They were so good. And they're not good anymore.
Sometimes they're good.
This Fire and Stone they dropped the ball so hardcore. It's not good. And they're spinning out of the Prometheus world, and it's totally fell flat.
I just want to say real quick, we got... I didn't count them, but we got a lot of calls, and I realized that I posted the show really late, I realized I posted the question of the week really late. I apologize for that, but you guys really came through, and we're not done. We still have like three more calls, but you guys answered the call at the buzzer. I appreciate you. We thank you. As Matt says every week, there'd be no show without you.
We have the best goddamn listeners in the world.
Except for you.
People that listen to other podcasts, assholes. I guess that includes me.
We know that THN is the only podcast you all listen to.
It's the only one worth listening to, right? Back to the phone lines. Our good buddy, Harvey Locus.
Hey, nerds, Harvey Locust here, calling in my answer to the question of the week. And that, I hope you have a backup, because I'm stealing yours.
Son of a bitch!
You know it.
I'm going with Star Trek by the ID Dubs. How can I not?
Didn't steal mine, but that was right up there for me.
It was phenomenal. I especially want to say the countdown, the original countdown.
Yeah. That's a good book.
What came out leading up to the first of the new movies was some quintessential Star Trek reading. If you haven't read it, I really suggest you go out and get it. I wish the Countdown to Darkness one lived up to it, but it was still good, but it would. The first countdown is phenomenal. Sorry, Matt. Everybody else, go check it out. Later.
Harvey. Oh. Don't go into the light, Harvey.
Yeah, it sounded like he was getting a little emotional there for a minute. You didn't steal mine, but I did think about doing
it. IDW's ongoing Star Trek book is really great.
It's fantastic.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, it's really good.
They just wrapped up this storyline where Q from Star Trek The Next Generation shows up in the new Star Trek universe.
They kind of redid the Q Gambit.
And I swear to God, it was called the Q Gambit.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I felt like I was 10 years old.
It was great.
Again.
It was great.
Watching the way that they are able to have their cake and eat it too by building this new universe and still holding on to the old one. Yeah. I'm so thrilled by it.
I should mention the classic Star Trek comics that they do as well with the old cast and everything. Also awesome.
I don't bother with those.
They're great. They're really, really good. The only ones that aren't are the John Byrne ones. They're not so hot. But I love all the Star Trek stuff that they're doing. It's so good. And now I'm rethinking my answer because I love it so much. But fuck you, Harvey. You
stick to your guns. Have some backbone.
Joe Patrick sends in an MP3 for Willie Toots, as he does every week, gently holding his hand, getting him on the show. And we appreciate it. Thank you, Joey.
It's not his fault. He knows how to send an MP3, obviously.
Pretend that like he's in a wheelchair, you know, like Stephen Hawking style.
Do I press
like,
this red one?
Joe, can you please send this in for me?
Oh, there, guys. It is Willie Toots with my
timeout. If he doesn't say Conan, call him complete. Gotta say it, look, right?
He's multifaceted. Okay?
AOTW for this week, which is all about licensed products in comic books. And I could be real cliche here and go with Conan from Dark Horse.
Oh!
In your face.
Or even Dragon Age or Star Wars, also from Dark Horse, because Dark Horse has treated those licenses amazingly well.
In my face.
Oh, no. I got to give the number one slot to Pathfinder over at Dynamite. And now you're saying, whoa, 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 Willie Toots. We know that Conan is your favorite comic of all. How could that not be your number one? Here's why. Gaming materials! That's right. Because it's not that the Pathfinder comic is good, because I really don't think it's that good. It's not because the Pathfinder comic has great artwork, because I really don't think it has great artwork. But it's the errata. It's the back matter that thrills me every month. I can't wait to see what they give me. Firstly, most importantly, they give you a map. You can pull it out and it folds open and it's a cool little map that they give you a little adventure for, which is usually scalable. Doesn't matter what level your character is. It can be used. They'll just give you different scenarios. And then they also tie in like some information on, say, this recent series took place in a city called Magnamar. So all of the errata was either about the gangs of Magnamar, the different districts of Magnamar. It's a lot of like history and usable society stuff. It's great. And then they top it off by giving you non-player character statistics. Stats. I love stats. I love adventures. I love miniature maps. That's why it is numero uno with me, because I can use all that shit in my game, and I will use all that shit in my game. It's invaluable to me. Oh, man. And then they even collect those series in a hardcover that is the exact same size and format as their core rule books and stuff, which is super cool. fun and cool.
That's really cool.
So that's it, sir. That's my answer of the week. Later, fellas.
Okay, now we reviewed a couple Pathfinder comic books and we both liked them. Jim Zub was writing them.
I did, but...
And I thought the art was good.
I liked the very first ever Pathfinder book we reviewed. It was great. It was good. But I mean, there have been many since then, and I trust Toots if he says that they're not that good.
But he's thrown us a curveball, son of a bitch, making us look bad. But hey, I really like the curveball he threw. He likes it because of all the back matter. Nice use of errata, by the way. First use of errata on the show.
First ever use of the word errata. Yes.
And it is really cool how they reprint that stuff, and it totally fits with your other Pathfinder like books and stuff. And you know what? I'm calling it out. I want to start playing Pathfinder. Let's do it. Let's pick a night. Let's play some Pathfinder. I don't care how big the group is. I want to check it out. Sick everybody telling me how cool it is. Get it going, Toots. I'm in.
Last caller.
Sean.
Seanix.
He's like often our last caller, isn't he?
You know, he just likes to put that little piece of punctuation at the end of every show. I guess.
Hello to it, a nerd, Seanix, emailing in with my favorite licensed property in a comic book. And this might be a cheat to some, but because it was a comic book before it was a licensed property, but it is a licensed property because Nickelodeon is stamped on every single issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But I'm talking about the ongoing from ID Dubs. It's been fantastic since day one. I absolutely love it. I gush about it on this podcast enough. But when this question was asked, it was a no-brainer for me. Sad news, though. I believe in the newest previews, they were saying this is the start of the final arc leading up to issue 50. So if they're going to cancel it with issue 50, maybe they'll start over after. I don't know, but that kind of upsets me because it's been a fun, fun ride. But it also feels like it's leading up to a conclusion. It's been fantastic. The writing on it's been great. It's a lot of fun. The art's been fantastic on there. I just found Ross Campbell helping out from time to time. I just love the feel. I love the vibe. And I'll hate to see it go, but hopefully it will come back. But that will be my answer this week. And it's a licensed property. Nickelodeon. Come on, kids. All right. Peace.
Well, I mean, it's licensed just because it didn't start at IDW. So, yeah, it counts.
Well, it's a licensed property.
Totally counts.
Because it's owned by... right. It's owned by...
Eastman and Laird.
Well, I think... I mean, Sean is probably right in that Nickelodeon probably owns it now. But...
It would count anyway. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
license has gone to many properties, including Archie, Image.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally
kinda sucked everywhere else. Really good at IDW. And there's no way they're canceling it. They're going to relaunch it.
Well, I mean, maybe IDW is losing the rights.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I feel like we would know that. That would have been announced or something. We would have heard that. I doubt it. I bet they're just relaunching it. Don't worry, Sean. I bet they're just relaunching it. And it is really, really good. He fought tooth and nail to get me to read that book. And he was right. And I admitted it on the show. It's a great book. Love it. Didn't start out great. Ended up great.
Okay.
Let's get into it. Favorite calls.
Come on. First time, long time.
First time, long time.
The return of first time, long time.
It has to be, right? The return of first time, long time.
Knocked it out of the park with... a dozen different voices, most of which were quite excellent.
Yes. If we were to pick one based on votes, though, Planet of the Apes wins, gets the most votes.
Planet of the Apes got the most votes by having two votes.
Hey, still counts, you know, 2-0 or 2-1, I guess, for everybody else.
2-1, right?
Joe Patrick, what is your favorite licensed comic book?
All right. I mean, I'm sticking with my guns. My favorite licensed property is and forever will be G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Not that there haven't been lots of great licensed comics through the years. Star Trek, Star Wars,
right.
ROM, the Transformers comic was pretty good off and on. But G.I. Joe, from the beginning of its time in comics, was great. Larry Hama did a great job building the mythology. Larry Hama didn't just write the G.I. Joe comic. He helped create the world of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And that is no joke.
Yeah, he like wrote all the bios on the cards and stuff.
Like they came to him and said, hey, this is a character we created. He carries a laser gun. And maybe they said his name is Flash.
Yeah.
Or Rock and Roll.
Or Lady J.
Right. And Larry Hama went from there. They may not have even come up with a name. They may have said, hey, this guy has a flamethrower. And he said, OK, got it. Barbecue or a blowtorch or whatever. His run on that book from Marvel in the 80s is awesome. And it's not kiddish. It's really well done. Very, very compelling. Great character moments. All that stuff between Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and the mythology of like their ninja clan and the family lineage of Cobra Commander.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really easy for comics based on toys or kids cartoons to be just that. Childish, but G.I. Joe was not.
No, it was awesome.
And I'll be the first to tell you that after it left Marvel, like it didn't really end great necessarily at Marvel once they started getting fancy with like Tiger Force and
Ninja, Neon, like Snake Eyes Ninja Force and then G.I. Ninjas. Or
right. And when it left Marvel and there were G.I. Joe revivals at other publishers, they weren't always great. I didn't read a lot of the Devil's Due stuff when it came back in earnest. When Devil's Due came back with a sincere reboot of G.I. Joe or revival of G.I. Joe.
It wasn't great.
But they kind of curated that license for a lot of years.
Yeah, so they did. And they did a good job, but it just wasn't great.
But man, when Mike Costa started doing G.I. Joe Cobra.
Yeah, man.
I had fallen off the G.I. Joe wagon.
Yeah, man.
And if you had told me, look, the best super serious spy comic being published right now is a G.I. Joe comic and it stars Chuckles, I'd have told you were out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah. Wait a minute. The guy in the Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah. Yes. But website after website and podcast after podcast were singing the praises of that book.
Mm-hmm.
That I checked it out and they are absolutely right. Mike Costa's G.I. Joe is legitimately amazing.
Yeah.
And not because it's G.I. Joe, because it's good.
Yeah.
It could be about something completely different. They could say it's not about G.I. Joe, change the names of all the characters. It would still be an amazing spy story.
Yeah, definitely.
G.I. Joe, it's my pick.
Okay.
What do you got?
Man, I totally rethought mine.
Give me your original answer.
I think my original answer was going to be IDW's Star Trek. And then I rethought that. And then I was like, you know what? Every time I read an IDW Transformers book, I am shocked at how good it is. Absolutely shocked.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the Transformers or the Transformers universe. And I don't think I've given a single Transformers IDW book anything less than a buy it on this show. It's just fantastic. It's not my answer. God damn it, Harvey. I can't fight it. I have to go with IDW Star Trek. It's just perfect. It's pitch perfect. The new cast stuff is great. The old cast stuff is great. I even like the way that they were reprinting them in those big omnibus things that were really cheap. And you got a ton of Star Trek comics in them. They have handled that license perfectly. And I would argue that nobody does a better job with licensed products than IDW right now.
That is a fair statement.
Yeah, even the stuff that I don't care about. Transformers, for example. Excellent. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And if you like Transformers, you are freaking out because you're getting the best Transformers book you've ever read. And Star Trek, month in, month out, it's just pitch perfect. I've never cared about Star Trek comics before IDW Star Trek. Always loved Star Trek, just never cared about the comics.
Okay.
That's my answer. God damn you,
Harvey. Embrace your feelings.
I know. I always try to come up with something different, you guys. Awesome show this week. We got so many calls. Jason from Pittsburgh, first time caller. We love that. That's awesome. But he's the only one. I know there's more of you. Call us. We want to have so many calls that we have to start bumping people out. Let's be like, who's the best? Who's better than that?
No.
Yes. Then it'll become vicious. It's like when you starve a bunch of rats in a barrel and they start to eat each other, you know? And one of them crawls out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That was from a movie. I don't remember when it was. It was really disturbing though. I think that may have been like something about Kaiser Soze, now that I think about it, but I don't recall. Regardless.
What, The Usual Suspects?
This is our favorite show because you guys do all the work, and without you guys, we don't have a show. please keep calling, keep answering. Like I said, there's a new question up on the forums. I'm going to watch Joe Patrick post it right now. Joey,
this week's question, remakes, y'all. We're going to talk about them. Now, I know we recently did a show about comic book reboots and retcons, so we're going to leave the comics out of it for the most part. We want to know, what is your favorite remake in pop culture? It can be a movie, a TV show, a video game, a cover song that you think's better than the original, whatever. If you can think of a comic that truly fits the bill, that isn't just an example of a publisher hitting the reset button like Crisis or Flashpoint or probably Secret Wars, that's fair game too. I would say like Miracle Man. Yeah. Alan Moore's Miracle Man, a total remake of the original Miracle Man.
Yeah.
Not, you know, we're retconning the past of Miracle Man and starting with a new number one.
Yeah, redo.
Right.
Or do-over.
Do-over. What's your favorite do-over in comics?
I think it's technically
in pop culture.
Do-over, though. we'll get into that later. I love it. Great question. Going up right now. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys. But for now, there will be another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast going up this weekend. It's going to be the best one you've ever heard.
Guaranteed.
Get your expectations really, really high.
So high.
For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd. Signing off. We're done. Goodbye.